from Marion County on KMUZ Turner. This is Waste Matters on the Air, the show that talks trash about waste and how to prevent it.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. It's the fourth Thursday of the month, so you must be listening to Waste Matters on the Air at KMUZ at 88.5 and 100.7 FM, the show that trashes waste and how to prevent it. I'm your host, Alan Pennington, a Waste Reduction Coordinator of Marion County Environmental Services, and I'm here in the studio today with my guest, Desta Serene of One Fair World. So, I want to remind you folks that I do head up the Marion County's Earthwise program, which is a free program for businesses and nonprofits which wish to explore ways to reduce waste and conserve resources and hopefully save some money too. Earthwise also offers a certification that these organizations may receive should they wish to take steps to achieve them. These steps would include such things as recycling, waste reduction, energy and water conservation, and green purchasing. The reason I'm bringing this up is because Desta works for One Fair World, and they are an Earthwise certified business and have been for, do you remember how many years, Desta?
I believe 4 years.
4 years. I'm thinking more, but we'll go with 4 years.
Okay.
So since I do the Earthwise thing and have my own radio show, I pretty much get to combine the two to bring you, I think, very interesting people and businesses who just happen to be Earthwise certified. So let's face it. Not every organization, profit or nonprofit, are trying their best to be as environmentally sustainable as they can. But the cool thing about Earthwise businesses is that they have a third-party certification that says that they are doing certain things, important things, to be mindful of their environmental place in the sun. Which brings me to my guest, Desta Serene, who works for One Fair World. Desta, do you have a job title?
Assistant manager / volunteer coordinator.
Okay, that's a good long one.
Yes.
And as you work for One Fair World, which as far as I can tell, the only nonprofit fair trade store operating in Marion County. Is that true?
As far as we know, yes.
Okay, so we'll go with that too, all right? So Desta, now that we're ready to get started here, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I've been working for One Fair World for about 5.5 years, and I just generally enjoy working at nonprofits. I also work at the Silverton Art Association and as a preschool assistant there, which also has kind of similar ethics. So,
where do you think you got your? Because I think you're a very green person. You also went through the Master Recycler program some years ago. And I got to know you a little bit that way, and it just seems like that's an important part of your life. Where did that come from?
My parents just kind of instilled a love of nature, a lot of camp trips and things. And one of the things you notice that's not good is all the litter. So I started, you know, really thinking about where garbage is going and what could and couldn't be recycled, which led me to the Master Recyclers class and got me a wealth of knowledge there. So.
Well, I'm glad it did, because it also gave us a connection there to help you guys get Earthwise certified over there at One Fair World. So One Fair World is a fair trade business. So what does that mean, fair trade?
So fair trade is giving artisans and producers in developing countries basically a fair price for what they're making, making sure that they're in safe working conditions and, you know, no child labor, things like that.
Okay. So That seems important. Can you expand on that a little bit, how that plays into?
Well, to me personally, I think it's important just because we need to treat everyone in the world as human beings, you know, and people that aren't getting what they should be when they're spending all this time making products, I don't think that that's fair. So I like to know that the things that I purchase, you know, I can feel good about how they were made.
Mm-hmm. So, One Fair World used to be called, was it 10,000 Villages?
Yes.
Okay. So why did that name change?
So 10,000 Villages is one of the like oldest, very first fair trade stores, and we were a franchise of that. But we wanted to go independent and be able to have some different vendors, different products and things. And so we made that decision back in 2009. And we still have a great relationship with 10,000 Villages. They are one of our largest vendors, but I feel like now we have a little more variety in what we can offer in our store.
Okay. So how do you make contact with these sources for the materials that you all have at your store?
It depends. Our manager, Kim Baldwin, does a lot of research into different organizations. Sometimes they contact us, and then it's just a matter of seeing for the proof that they are fair trade certified, because that's one of our requirements.
Okay, so do you then just order it online through them, or how does that happen?
Yeah, we just order, you know, sometimes they send us catalogs, but luckily most things are set up where we can just pick things out online and
okay.
order them.
So I know it would be hard to believe, but there may be some of our listeners out there who have never been into the One Fair World store. Can you tell us where it is?
Yeah, so it's 474 Court Street Northeast, so just downtown. It's next to the kitchen on Court Street and the Paradiso, right around from the courthouse there. So.
And what would somebody find if they went in there?
All kinds of things. We have a lot of jewelry and a lot of scarves because those are very popular things. Different home decor items, chocolates, coffee, really good coffee, and just a variety. There's things for babies, blankets, all kinds of things. So
it's an
all-around gift shop.
So. And there's a lot of handcrafted materials, obviously. And there's also mm-hmm. a lot of materials that have been repurposed, I would say.
Yeah, and that's one of the things with going along with the Earthwise thing. We specifically look for things that have been upcycled or made from recycled materials, like maybe something that was once a tin can is now a sculpture or earrings or something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know, also, for me personally, it's a great place when you're trying to find a present for someone and you really don't know what they want, especially, I think, for like a baby shower or a wedding gift. I've always found that if I go there, I can find something that's the perfect gift.
Definitely. And we have some people that go there on their way to the shower or the party. And so we help them wrap it up and they're good to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, what you were talking about when you're thinking about the fair trade aspect of this, you know, sustainability is often described as a three-legged stool, which when those three legs would be the environment and the economic portion of that, and then social equity or social fairness, you could say. One Fair World really delves into the social equity part by providing and supporting third world artisans with a market, but you'll also dip into the environmental aspects by some of the practices that you guys follow there at One Fair World. So I want to kind of delve into that a little bit here, more explore that. For example, let's think about your solid waste or really your lack of it. Can you tell our listeners some of the ways that you guys avoid creating waste?
Oh, sure. When our vendors bring us products, we try to reuse any of the packing material to wrap up the items that we sell. And anything that we can't use, we do recycle, but we really try to look at ways to reuse these items. And we have a couple of volunteers that take old calendars and greeting cards, and then they make us little jewelry-sized gift boxes for people. Let's see. We also, you know, we try to reuse paper in the store. We have a printer that prints on both sides, and we use stock paper whenever we can for that. And the staff and volunteers, we have, you know, we bring our own dishes, so we try not to create a lot of waste that way, too.
Okay. And I want to think about those boxes for a little bit, because one of the cool things that you guys do have for anything that's not particularly large, it really comes in handy because you guys have your own gift boxes, and it's not some sterile box that you got when you go into your other more commercial store that you'd be given, but you actually get one that's amazingly beautiful and functional, and it's one of those things that nobody's going to throw it away. They're going to just keep using it or keep putting gifts into it. So how does that happen? How do you guys make those things?
Oh, it's cute. Well, we basically it's two volunteers, and one of them is a guy, and he makes them while he's watching football. And the other woman, she just really has an eye for what's going to be good. So she makes them, you know, seasonally and for some of our offsites, she especially makes different designs. So,
Yeah, they're very cool. And so I just need to point out that if you just tuned in, you're listening to Waste Matters on the Air at KMUZ at 88.5 and 100.7 FM. I'm Alan Pennington, Waste Reduction Coordinator for Marion County, and I'm speaking with Desta Seren of One Fair World, located here in Salem. So thinking about what you don't produce, another thing y'all don't create are any toxic waste. Now, typically most department stores or gift stores, whatever you want to kind of category we want to throw One Fair World into, don't create a lot, but there's always something. Typically in the cleaning products, because typically a lot of cleaning products can be quite toxic, even though we're used to them and maybe become inured to their toxicity. For example, a very common ingredient in household cleaners is chlorine, which often becomes atomized when you spray it and then breathe in while you're either, you know, cleaning tabletops or windows. But you guys avoid such things. So tell us how you guys do that.
Well, luckily when I started there, they didn't have a lot of those more toxic type things anyway, because I've always tried to avoid those. And then we just kind of go with some of the most basic natural ingredients, you know, like peroxide, vinegar, baking soda, and make, you know, window cleaner and furniture polish all using natural things. And I think that's great because our customers come in and they always say how good it smells in there. And, you know, there's people that have concerns about different allergies and they never have a problem with anything that we use.
So basic ingredients being typically what? For these
so
cleaners?
Like for our glass cleaner, we use vinegar and water and that's it. And we just recycle newspapers to clean our glass.
Uh-huh.
So just real basic.
For your furniture polish, do you use lemon juice, or what are you using?
Yeah, no? So we can do either vinegar with a little bit of olive oil or lemon juice and olive oil. And,
okay. You
know, it's like maybe half a cup of the lemon juice and then a couple of teaspoons of the oil, and then you just shake it up. And
right. And I think it's funny because there's some furniture polishes out there that are very, very heavy with the orange scent, and you go, wow.
Yeah.
I'm really cleaning with oranges. And there's an orange essence in there that they put out for the odor, but there's some pretty toxic stuff in some of those orange-based cleaners. So
right.
Look at the details in the bottle when you go to buy that, folks, because there, if you go online, there are a million recipes for cleaning products that are basically use a lot of vinegar, peroxide, hydrogen peroxide, which is another over-the-counter item. It's just H2O2. And lemon is another good one. And then, of course, there's baking soda comes in handy. So let's think about another important Earthwise area for you guys, and that would be energy use. So tell us about how some of the ways that you guys use less energy over at your store.
Okay. Well, for our lighting, we have a wonderful volunteer, Richard Mather, who was already in the process of switching out our old incandescents with CFLs, and now he's been working on replacing all those to LEDs. And, you know, we don't waste something if it's still a good light, but just as soon as that one goes out, we put a new one in. And that's probably our biggest energy use besides the computers. And then we have a monitor policy so that those get shut off every night. And the heating and air conditioning, we keep those, you know, not too hot, not too cold, and they're on a timer too. Mm-hmm. So those are our biggest energy savings, I guess.
So you do the baby bear, you keep it just right.
Yes.
Yeah. So you guys are blessed with Richard. I've met him, and mm-hmm. he's it's great. He's got a electrical background, and he's very knowledgeable about such things, and it's wonderful that you've been able to switch. Have you switched everything out to LED yet, or you still have a few?
I think there's
CFLs
just a
left.
Couple left now. It's almost all the way over. So
yeah,
he's great. He's been doing that for his church too, and so I told him about, you know, the Earthwise certification. And
yeah, so he's been working,
kind of
helping them with that too as mm-hmm. well. Yeah, it's amazing. So one of the things that just to throw this out there too is when folks do replace their compact fluorescents or their fluorescent tubes out, Please get those recycled. There is a small, tiny amount, but still present amount of mercury in those bulbs that can be released when they're broken, so you don't want to break them in your house. And you can take them out to the Salem-Keizer transfer station and get those recycled for free. You can take up to 10 bulbs or tubes at a time up there. And there are some stores that will also accept them. I know that the Lowe's and Home Depot, I believe, both will take the compact fluorescents. And I just got an email from somebody that said that the Madrona Ace Hardware will also accept fluorescent tubes. So that's a plus. They want your business, and so take them some tubes and get recycled. So that's a great opportunity there.
Nice.
So thinking about Richard, an important part of any nonprofit that is going to operate, it really needs a stable core of volunteers to help keep it going. And you guys seem to have some really long-term, dedicated folks. How do you keep all of them going?
Well, a lot of it is just, I think, our mission. We have a lot of really passionate volunteers that care about fair trade, and that helps right there. We get some high school or college students that are looking to travel to some of these countries, and so they really show an interest in what we're doing, or retired people that go and travel there and actually see firsthand what it's like. But, you know, as they come in, having a good training program set up where, you know, we have a handbook that explains everything hopefully really well, and a couple of training days, and then, you know, just making sure they really know what they're getting into before they start. And then the other big thing is just gratitude, you know, thanking them frequently. We try to do a couple of recognition events every year, that kind of thing. So, you know, because it's recruitment is important, of course, but it's much more important to hang on to who you have, and, you know, then they tell other people and that kind of thing. So,
yes. In fact, I think you've got some that have been there for like maybe 10 years?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, there's not a nonprofit out there in the world that doesn't covet those kind of volunteers, because that's a phenomenal kind of dedication. So
for sure,
any organization would love to have that. So very, very cool. So is there anything that we missed, that's something you want to bring up that I didn't ask you about?
Let's see. Well, you cover just where we are, and hopefully people will come and visit us and check out all that we have to offer. Next month, we're having a nativity night on the 8th, I believe. And so that's a good opportunity to come in. We'll have refreshments, and actually we're doing a volunteer appreciation right after that.
So, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And so how about you repeat the address?
Sure.
And your website.
Okay, so it is One Fair World, 474 Court Street, Northeast, and the website's onefairworld.org.
Okay, that's pretty easy to find.
Yes.
So, Desta, if you could wave your magical wand, what would your sustainable wish be for us?
Well, my wish would be that somehow everyone in Marion County took the Master Recyclers class, and that the businesses enrolled for the Earthwise, because there's a wealth of knowledge with both programs there that, you know, I think would be incredibly important for everyone to know.
I like that wish. Thank you. That's great. Well, I'd like to thank our guest, Desta Serine.
Serine.
Yes, I never got
okay.
it right. Ah, Serine.
Yes.
You know, I should have asked you at the very beginning. My apologies. Desta Serine, for sharing her time and knowledge with us today. You are listening to KMUZ, reaching parts of Marion, Polk, and Linn counties via 88.5, and deep into Soul Central Salem and Keizer on 100.7 FM. So join us for our next show here on KMUZ on November 9th at 1 o'clock, where we'll talk trash and find ways to avoid it with another fabulous episode of Waste Matters on the Air. And I believe that show is going to include Joe Abraham from Willamette, who's going to fill us in on all the things that Willamette University has been busy doing over the last few years. And of course, KMUZ.org's website has podcasts archived of all of our shows and others. And we would love to hear from you. You can email us at environmentalservices@co.marion.or.us, or you could check us out on Facebook and YouTube. Just search Marion County Environmental Services, and you'll find us there. Okay? Questions? All right. Well, then just send me an email, and we'll find out. All right. But as an old Roman philosopher once said, unless it's peace and quiet, if you don't need it, don't buy it.